You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, you know as well as I know that our nation is tremendously divided right now. And the divide is whether you liked the Star Wars movie or you didn't like the Star Wars movie. That's the big divide that's going on right now, is what you thought about the Star Wars movie. Now, I went and saw it. I thought it was great. It was fine. I'm not a total Star Wars guy, but I thought it was great enough. I thought it was like the longest movie in the history of the world, though. They should have served like space food halfway through or something like that to be able to have. But anywhere you turn, there's Star Wars everywhere. I was eating cereal the other day at our house, and my Honey Nut Cheerios, I looked on the back of the box, and somewhere down in there, I hadn't got there yet, is a Star Wars spoon that I'm going to get with all of the Star Wars stuff on it. So I'm going to get down to that at some point after a few more bowls, and so that's good. I walked into the grocery store. There's Star Wars stuff everywhere in the grocery store. You go into like a toy store, it's everywhere with lightsabers and action figures and all this stuff. I went into a pharmacy, and there's Star Wars at the end cap with all these different things. Stuffed animals, Star Wars figures. They even had Star Wars body wash, which I thought was kind of interesting. It's like these little things that look like all the characters. I'm like, do you smell like C-3PO after you use this? I mean, how does this work? So you got all this stuff happening, and I found one thing that I thought was only sold in Houston, Texas at Christmas. They didn't send this to, like, Wisconsin at Christmas. This was only in Houston, Texas, and what it is it's got candy at the bottom here, and then it's got BB-8, the little new R2-D2 thing, and then it is a fan for those hot Christmas days that you have in Houston, Texas. So filled with all these Star Wars things, you got this fan now so that you could keep warm on this Christmas time here in Houston, Texas. So I got this, so I'm going to give this here. I'm going to throw this to you. You can grab that. Now, if you get bored in the message, just kind of play with it a little bit. That's okay. But to be able to have Star Wars everywhere, well, let me tell you what. We're not talking about Star Wars. We're talking about the Star of Peace. We're not talking about the Jedi. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about these wise men. They're going to follow a star. It's not a war about the star. It's actually peace on earth and goodwill towards men. And that's a powerful thing. And as we look and see these three wise men, we're going to understand a little bit more about them and hopefully be encouraged in our own lives how we can walk our lives out. So wise men, wise women as well, let's look into the scripture. I'm going to show you in Matthew 2, verse 9 and 10 is where we'll start. It'll be up on the screens, but we'll jump in and looking at the star, this star that was up in the east. Look at verse 9. Here's what it says. After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star that they had seen in the east. And it led them until it came and it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed beyond measure. So these wise men look up, and there it is. There's a star in the east, and this star is going to guide them right to the place, the miraculous place where Jesus Christ is born. Here's what we need to get from the wise men here, is that we've got to look up for leadership. We've got to look up for leadership. See, a lot of times we could be looking down at our feet. We could be looking at all the things that are around us in our life, all the things that are going on. And God's saying, I want you to look up. It says in Psalms 121, verse 1 and 2, lift your eyes to the mountains, for where does your help come from? For my help comes from the Maker, the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. So a lot of times in your life and in my life, I bet we all get a little bit too focused on what's happening right here and now. Instead of looking up and saying, God, you've got a plan and you're going to do something great in the midst of this. Do you want God's guidance in your life? I bet you do, or you wouldn't be here. None of us are like, you know what, if God really helps me out and gives me guidance, life is going to be terrible. I don't want that. I want my own deal, because if God gives me guidance, he's going to mess the whole thing up. Now, it may get tough with God. It may be difficult with God, no question about that. But God can guide us, and as we get our eyes up, as they were led by the star. They had to keep their eyes up in order to be led to the place where God wants them. We talked about this a lot during the Harvey time Harvey's still going on, but when it was just going on type of thing in our church. We talked about that there's an upper story. There's stuff that God's doing that we don't know what's going on with that. And that upper story, we can't see it. His ways are higher than our ways. But there's a lower story that's going on that we can see. And a lot of times we get discouraged on the lower story because we see all this mess and this muck and this mire, this manger scene that's a mess. But the upper story is what's going on. And we have to trust that what's happening in our lives here, God's doing something in the upper story here. And the joy is these wise men find, the joy is when we can connect the upper story with the lower story. That's when the joy comes. We say, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you. Or I do see what you're doing, just a little bit at a time, what you're doing. So there's an upper story that connects. The wise men look up and they see the star, and they, on this long, tumultuous journey, the star leads them and they experience great joy. Now, joy at Christmas isn't just sitting down and, you know, there's candlelight glow and we're opening up a present and everything's just nice with some music playing on the CDs to be able to have Christmas music around. Joy, what he's talking about, is something that's deeper within us. You can be going through a difficult time and still have joy down in your heart. To be able to let that joy happen. So these wise men are journeying with joy as they're being led. Are you and I looking up for leadership in our life? Are we basically just kind of doing life and then being like, Jesus, help me. I need some help right now. Or are we really looking up and saying, God, I want to know your word and I want to walk with you at church and I want to be a part of growing spiritually and I want to really grow in my life with who you are and what you want to do in me so that I can understand the upper story just a bit. None of us understand it all the way. And that will make sense of my lower story of what's going on here. It's more than sentiment. It's from the soul and the joy of looking up to be a person that looks up for God's guidance. Now, my wife and I, we just got to go a couple weeks ago to New York City, and it was a great time to be able to go. This is our 20th year anniversary of our marriage, and so it's really great. We're married actually in August is our anniversary, but, you know, August was kind of crazy with all the things happening, so we weren't able to get away. So we said, well, we'll get away a little bit later, and we went to New York City because in New York is where we got engaged. So 21 years ago, we got engaged, and then we got married. Just students, in case you're wondering, that's how it's supposed to work. You get engaged, then you get married, okay? That's how it's supposed to work. So we got engaged in New York, and so we went, and we got engaged in Central Park. We went back to the same place. It was awesome. Had a great time. We went to the Rockefeller Christmas tree, you know, the huge Christmas tree. It was awesome to be there. We went to Saks Fifth Avenue, and they had all the lights and stuff on the building as they're doing all this Christmas stuff. We walked into Tiffany's after 20 years. I told my wife, don't buy a thing, is what I told her when we walked into Tiffany's. So we walked through there and kind of looked at price tags, went, oh my goodness, and walked back out. And so, you know, that's how it goes after 20 years, you know how that works. And so we go and we head back over to kind of this Fifth Avenue area, and we get to this place. It's right there by Saks Fifth Avenue, and there at Saks Fifth Avenue, there's the St. Patrick's Cathedral. It's a beautiful, beautiful cathedral right there in the middle of Manhattan. So we walk into this beautiful cathedral, and there's people walking around and looking, and we walked around and looked, and there wasn't a mass going on at the time. It's just some people sitting in different places. So we just sat down, and we just talked a little bit about things that were going on and just our marriage and different things and just what a blessing it's been and all that stuff. And we just pulled down the kneeler there and just got down there on the kneeler, and we just said, let's just pray together. So we got there and we prayed together and we held hands and we prayed and we just said, Lord, thank you for our marriage. And we need help with this in our life. Thank you for this that's happening in our life. Thank you for our kids, all these different things that are going on. And we just prayed. And then as we finished praying, I just was on my knees and I looked up and I was just amazed. I was like, wow. So I got out my phone and I took a picture. And I want to show you the picture of where we were in looking up. It's just this massive, massive cathedral. And as I was looking up, I just sensed peace in my heart. And why do they build cathedrals like that? They build cathedrals like that to show the grandness of God, the greatness and the height of God. Now, we've got a big room here. It's plenty high, but this is a huge, huge cathedral with these beautiful, beautiful things on the ceiling. It's gorgeous. And as I was looking up, I was so encouraged. Looking up, seeing the star. They built churches for centuries upon centuries so that we'd look up and we'd see the greatness of God. That's what the wise men did. They looked up. And I wonder if you're in your life right now, if you just need to look up a little bit. A lot of stuff happening down here. If you just need to just look up. You ever gone out on a starry night and you look up, you're like, wow, God, you're so big. Just amazing stuff. The wise men looked up for leadership, but they didn't stop there. Look at what happens in verse 11. They had this happen. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshiped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So they looked up for leadership, But then they walk into the house and they see Mary with Jesus on her lap and they bow down. Did you see where it says they hit their knees? It's the ups and the downs of Christmas. They look up for direction and bow down to worship. They look up for direction and bow down to worship. See, that's the Christian life. The Christian life is, Lord, I want to look up at your greatness, but at the same time, I want to bow down in your holiness and say, Lord, you're amazing and you're great. Many of us are wanting God to give us direction, but we're not wanting to bow our knees in worship. And those two things are connected if you're really going to walk with God. It's got to be a life that looks up for leadership, but also bows down in worship. That's the ups and the downs of Christmas. And isn't it true in life and at Christmas, there's the ups and downs of life and Christmas? There's times that are great, they're awesome, they're incredible, wow! And then there's times you're like, man, this is terrible. When's this going to end? Then there's times that on Christmas, it's super, it's great, everybody's there. And then there's times that somebody's not there. They're traveling or they're gone for whatever reason. And it's just a little bit more lonely at that time in that place. It's the ups and the downs of Christmas. And we see it with the wise men, that they had the leadership of looking up and they also had the worship of being able to bow down. The journey and the worship are connected. And they give gifts to Christ. They said, Lord, we want to give gifts. Now, you're going to open a bunch of gifts, whether you do it tonight, you do more tomorrow, however you got your system down, but there's going to be gifts that you're going to receive, that you're going to give. Gifts are a part of Christmas. It's great. We get that from right here in this place. So these gifts that are being given out at Christmas, they're going to give Jesus a gift. You know that giving's a huge thing in the Bible? The Bible mentions prayer 371 times. The Bible mentions love 714 times, and the Bible mentions giving of our hearts, of our praise, of our words, of our resources 2,162 times. So this is a big deal to say, Lord, I give you my life. And these men, they come and they give gifts to the Lord. We had some good friends of ours that gave us a gift a while back, and what it was in this box is a gift, and in it, it had frankincense. It had gold, and then it had myrrh, the gifts that the three wise men gave. And so we pull this out every Christmas, and we're able to remember the gifts that the wise men gave. So the first one that we'll talk about is frankincense. Do you know how frankincense is made? Frankincense, what they do is they slice a trunk of a tree, and the sap comes out of the trunk of the tree. So it's sliced, and then it comes out. And then after 3 months, that sap hardens. Then they take that hardened sap and they break it off, kind of a crusty thing like this, and then they light it on fire, and then this rock, this crusty sap, then begins to come up as smoke, and it's incense that goes to God. If you've ever been to a Catholic church or maybe a Greek Orthodox church, and they'll come in with incense swinging back and forth, what does that symbolize? It symbolizes the prayers of the saints going up to God. So incense is something that you offer up to God. So they bring frankincense so that there's a slice. Sometimes in our lives, there's a slice. Sometimes in our lives, there's sap that's coming out that gets a little hardened. And then it gets chipped away, but then it becomes usable to God and it's able to be lifted up to him. And that frankincense is an aroma to him. What's the gold about? Well, the gold that this gold in this little ball here symbolizes is the gold is something that you would give to a king. So frankincense, incense is what you give to God, and gold is what you give to a king. So they're saying with this second gift, you're a king. It's not Caesar that's the king. It's not the president that's the president. Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords, the president of all presidents, if you will, in our language. He is one, so he receives gold to symbolize that he is a king. And then finally, you have myrrh. What is myrrh? Myrrh is a spice that they use in embalming dead bodies. So it sounds gross, but what they do is they use this spice to embalm dead bodies. So what's it saying? It's saying, Jesus, you're gonna die for our sins. And you're gonna be wrapped in these cloths, and you're gonna be placed into a tomb, and then you're gonna resurrect from the grave, and we're gonna have all these cloths left. And myrrh is what they would use in those cloths to embalm the body, to prepare the body for burial. So let's put it all together. The wise men come and they give gifts and they say, okay, first of all, frankincense, you're God. You're not just some baby. You're Jesus Christ. You're the Son of God. You're a part of the Holy Trinity. You are God. And so we offer up frankincense to you, God. You are given gold because you are a king. And then you are given myrrh because you are going to die for our sins and pay for our sins on the cross and be buried and then resurrect again. Isn't that incredible that that's the gifts of prophecy to the wise men? Absolutely mind-blowing. Isn't that a whole lot better than if the wise men would have gotten together and be like, what do you think? Hey, I'm going to get a hat, you get a belt, you get some socks, the kid's going to need a onesie. Let's just roll on into Bethlehem. That's not cool. That's not going to work. Instead, God has everything just as he would want it. And you and I are able to give our gifts to the Lord of our lives and say, you're king, you're God, you're my Savior who died to pay for my sins. And then we look up and God leads us. We bow down on a knee and we say, Lord, you're my king, you're my God, and you're my Savior. I give it all to you. I want to worship you and I want to be led by you. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you asked Jesus to be your Savior, to realize that he died to pay for your sins? It's not just a Christmas thing. It's an all day, all time thing. Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins. At the end of our time together, just a moment or two, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart and to wash you clean, to save your soul and to be your Savior. If you're a believer in Christ already, is he your king? Is he your God? Are you following him? Are you walking with him and following his leadership? I sure hope so, because that's where the joy in life really comes. Last verse, and then we'll close up. Verse 12. And being warned in a dream, the wise men, being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. Being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, that's the king that wanted to get them, they went back a different route. Here's what they did. They looked up, bowed down, and they leave different. They go back a different route. Look up, bow down, leave different. I want us to say that together, out loud, two times together. You ready? Here we go. Say it with me. Look up, bow down, leave different. Again, look up, bow down, leave different. That's what God wants from us. He doesn't want us coming to church and going home the same way we came. Too many times we come to church and we show up and we kind of do the whole thing and let's do the candle lights, let's do the whole thing, and then let's just go home exactly like we were. No, God says, I want you to leave different. I want you to go home different than when you came. I want to make an impact in your life and your soul and your heart so that you can truly leave different. Now, here's a bit of homework I have for you tonight, okay? Here's what I want you to do. When you drive home tonight, I want you to drive home a different route than what you usually drive, okay? We're going to take an application of this verse, driving home a different route than what you usually drive. Now, I'm not talking about if you live in Katy, you go to downtown, okay, and then you got to loop around, or you get on the loop and just kind of go around a little bit. Head home, okay, I mean, go that right direction, but then maybe take a different exit, or take, you know, when you get into the neighborhood and you're usually kind of going autopilot, as we all do, and you just kind of do your route, go a different route in the place. If you're driving the car, dad, you got the kids in the back or whatever, make like five loops around the block until finally they look up and go, what are you doing? You say, Pastor Greg talked about that when we interact with God, that we leave different. When we go to church, we leave different. We don't just come and sit and soak. We leave different and we go and we let God do something in our lives. And if we will be wise men and we will be wise women, we will look up for leadership. We'll bow down and worship that he is the king, he is God, and he is our Savior, and we will leave different. And it won't be about a Jedi, it'll be about Jesus. It won't be about Star Wars, it'll be about a star of peace. It won't be about space, it'll be about heaven and God doing his work. That's the wonderful power of Christmas. Jesus was born, sent from God for you and for me. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We want to be different than when we came. Lord, 2017's been a tough year, except for the Astros winning. Everything else has seemed to be pretty tough. So Lord, let 2018 be a little bit different. Let us be different from what we've learned as we walk into a new year. We love you, Lord. We thank you, and we trust you. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you don't know for sure that you'd go to heaven when you die, I want to give you an opportunity to look up and bow down and leave different. I'm going to pray, and it's not just a magic prayer. It's from your soul. It's from your heart. But to pray and to ask Jesus to be your Savior, to make your life different. If you want to do that, I'm going to pray, and you just repeat after me with the whisper of your lips and go straight to God. I'm just leading you. Pray with me. Jesus, I believe that you are the Savior of the world. I ask you to be the Savior of my heart. I place my faith in your blood shed on the cross as the payment of my sin. I ask in faith that you would wash me clean and dwell inside my life. You are my King and my God and my Savior. Save my soul and guide my life. If you prayed that, I want you to mention it to whoever brought you tonight, or a friend that you know is a believer in Christ, or even me after the service, or one of our staff folks. We'd love to talk with you. But you need to grow in your faith and find a good, strong church that teaches the Bible. Come here. We'd love to have you to grow in your faith. If you're a believer in Christ, would you just pray, just a whisper from your lips, and just say, Jesus, you're my King. You're my God. You're my Savior. Just speak that to him. We trust you, Lord. We give you all that we have. And we ask that we would truly leave different, God, having spent time with you. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.